hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for that, Denver. Thank you for that. It is cold in Chicago. It feels like winter. They're talking about going way down to 20. Now, that's not fall. And we're into fall, but it feels like winter. And it is nippy-dippy. I'm near the lake, and it's always colder. Or cooler near the lake. It feels colder now because it is, I mean, this is big coat weather. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live. If you're listening to this now, you're listening, it's live, and it will be podcasted. It will be recorded. It will be hopefully downloaded and archived. But it is totally, totally freezing outside. But it's beautiful. I mean, anytime you're above ground, it's beautiful. You know, it's wonderful. It's late evening. I believe it's 6:02, a little bit past or a little bit before, or maybe even continuing the rush hour home for a lot of people. And I want to say I went to my son's concert last night. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. He was beautiful and wonderful as ever. Like I said before in a post, I think I did, he is always the main attraction, And it was beautiful. It's always a good, it's always worth it to go to one of his concerts. He's in a band. It's more like an orchestra, you know. And he surprises me. He knows how to keep a beat. And you know, he can learn, despite what some people have said in the past. He can learn, and that's a beautiful thing. And it was just wonderful. As I record this today, he is still. This is the second day of his concert. I couldn't make it because I do have a guest on the show today. Hopefully, Peggy Seifel. Yeah, Seifel, or however she pronounces it. So. We're looking forward to that today, and, you know, that should be fun. If it happens, that should be fun, right? Okay, so this is, you know, George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, reporting live from Chicago. I almost forgot my thought, you know, so if I seem like I'm forgetting my thought, forgive me. I'm just getting old. What can I tell you? Okay, it is cold. We already covered that, and it's also... In Chicago, the Cubs are pushing for a pennant. They're already in New York. Isn't that something? Playing the New York Mets. This is not a sports show, but I have to, you know, give a shout out to the favorite team in Chicago sports. This is a sports town. So, I mean, this is totally a sports town. I mean, people are just going, wow. And the ticket prices and the scalpers are out full time, you know, even all over the internet, online, these guys are out trying to make a buck. So, yeah, and it's a best of five, just like the before, it's a best of five. So the first pitch comes tomorrow. Okay, all right, is that what it is? Okay, the first pitch is tomorrow, okay? I'm assuming tomorrow evening. And... it's a setting for the NLC, the World Series. We're talking World Series here. You know, the Cubs haven't won the World Series in well over 100 years, maybe 117 years. I don't know. And there was a time when we just didn't have any faith in these guys. None whatsoever. And a lot of people are saying that they're going to make it now. And a lot of people are you know, putting the saying that it's the coaching or the managing that's propelled these young guys to this moment. And it could be, but it's about time. I mean, because we have written the Cubs off. I even written a book about it, you know, fictional about the losing Cubs. So maybe I'm going to have to go and revise that book now, you know. So it's called Ain't That a Groove. But this is something. This is really, really something. And I'm excited. I'm truly excited because I've always been a White Sox fan. As you know, Chicago has two baseball teams. And I've always been a White Sox fan, but the White Sox are just, you know, they're just laying back for some reason. They're not hitting. I always felt it was the manager. What's this guy's name? Robin Ventura. You know, I mean, I thought they would get rid of this guy last year, but they didn't. Because I knew clearly he was to blame. He just seemed like he doesn't have what it takes to manage a bunch of young guys to the World Series. But anyway, we have the Cubs. We had the Blackhawks. We have a winning team here. And I just thought I'd mention that on the show, you know. So, and so if I go in and out talking about the Cubs or talking about the White Sox or talking about this and that, you know, so I would rather talk about some of these positive things than always dwell on the negative things because this show can get negative. Whenever I talk about Illinois in its fourth month without totally going on its fifth month without a budget and without anybody trying to get a budget, even the city, even Mayor Rahm Emanuel said, we need money. We're going to raise taxes. I got the vote to raise $588 million in taxes. So we need money. The state needs money. The school needs money. But nobody is sitting down talking, trying to compromise to try to get this state out of this hole. They can do it, but they, I don't know. So it's always good for me to sit down and talk about something positive. Because there's so much negativity in this town. And I get tired of railing every day on the show about some of the same old things. But you have to because it's always happening every day. And I try to report whatever's in the news. But, you know, with the teams doing so well and by the Cubs winning, and they are now in the national spotlight. So the national, this spotlight that they're in, the national spotlight, is taking some of the glow off the crime situation in this town. You know, people are not talking about the gangbangers and thugs and these guys shooting each other down, the school shootings. They're talking about the Cubs. Not that we're trying to belittle these situations. No way. Just we have to find something positive to talk about. We have to find a silver lining in some of this stuff, you know, and I think the Cubs, the Blackhawks, and the fact that this town, Chicago, is it's a rip-roaring sports town. I mean, I'm just enthralled by it all, you know, and of course, we're going to have to get some of the things I've just mentioned, but, you know, but I'm going to be in and out of this and because it's a great thing. Happy Swedish Day tomorrow. Happy Swedish Day to everybody, you know, before it gets to tomorrow. But I will be talking about it tomorrow also. Happy Friday, everyone. Happy Friday. I'm pretty sure a lot of people out there don't have time to sit around a computer or a radio. I mean, you're out there having fun. I mean, even though it's cold in Chicago, it doesn't mean it doesn't mean that you can't get out there and have a great time. You know, I mean, just bundle up. That's it. Just put on a lot of clothes because it's cold. I mean, it feels like winter. And I was overhearing, I think, something on television where the forecaster, the meteorologist, was saying that this was going to be a brutal winter, you know. So let's hope he's wrong, you know. But I don't know. He says it's going to be pretty brutal. And if he's right, you know, we can feel it right now, you know, because it's cold. And that is no lie about that. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show broadcasting live from Chicago. I am in my wonderful, beautiful studio. I mean, you know, some changes. 347-857-1762 is my number. Chime in if you just, you know, chime in, call or whatever you want to do. If you don't want to do that, sit back and listen and archive the show for later, because I know this is Friday night and you guys have been working hard and you've been busting your butts. You ain't got time to listen to George. But I wish you would. But if you can't, download the show, archive it, listen for later. You know, give me your feedback, whatever you think. And if the show is cracking up or breaking up, give me some feedback and let me know, because I want to do the best show and the best shows that I possibly can do, the equipment that I have. Okay, here we go. Like I said, we have an author on the show. You know, I haven't heard from her, but I'm pretty sure she's going to call in. She seems very, very excited to be on the show, and that's always good. I always like people who are excited to be on the show, because that makes me excited to interview them and talk about their work, especially if they're interesting people. And that's what this show is about, interesting people. Okay, we're going to take a break right here. I will be back. Stay with me. Stay with me. I will be back. All right. All right, we're back. Sorry for the dead air. The audio went out before I can make it back. All right, we're back. We are back. And this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And like I said, it's very, very cold. And we're waiting for the guest to be on the show. So we'll try to fill that time until she gets there. Okay, there be no Social Security increase. I'm just talking about some things in the news now. There will be no Social Security increase for seniors or recipients for 2016. And for some reason, the people are giving the cause because of low gas prices. That doesn't make any damn sense. That don't make any sense. The government is just coming up with any kind of reason not to give this increase. I would kind of, you know, understand if they just said, hey, we're not going to give an increase. Bing, into that. That's it. But don't come up with some lame ass reason because of low gas prices. You're not going to give a cost of living increase to Social Security recipients. That's nutty. That's, you know, to me, that's crazy. But what can you do? I mean, these guys are just what they are and who they are, you know? So I know a lot of seniors are disappointed. But in this day and age, you know, budget cuts, funding cuts are the norm. They're the norm. They're the norm. Have you ever walked in a store that they were talking about the other day where cereal all kinds of cereal. People were not buying as much cereal today as they did a long time ago. Cereal were just remaining on the shelves. And I can see why, because it's expensive. It is totally expensive. Cereal is more expensive than it's ever been, you know. And the thing that got me, you know, that gets me whenever I go in the store to pick up some cereal, and I still buy it because I eat it myself. My son eats it. We eat it and whatever. And how thin the boxes have gotten. The boxes have gotten, they used to be kind of fat, maybe 2 inches. I mean, you can barely get an inch or half an inch out of this. The boxes have thinned out. That means you're getting less product for the same amount of money, more likely more. And this is happening in just about everything in the store. You're getting less, or it's being watered down. I think we used to buy orange juice, and it was great, freshly orange juice, not the same orange juice. It has been watered down, and the prices are higher. And this is what's going on in America. You know, and they're dumb enough to think, stupid enough to think that we're going to just take it. We're not going to take it. I'm going to change my, you know, I'm going to change the place where I shop, but it's everywhere. You know, I'm not going to stop eating cereal because they, you know, cut the box in half, you know, and raise the price. If I'm going to get it, if I can afford it, I'm going to buy it. But still and all, it's going to affect, you know, and it's, I don't know, CDA crime, women, I don't know why guys are, I'm just throwing some stuff out there, folks. So, you know, I might, if you feel like you want to chime in, 347-857-1762, I'm just throwing some stuff out here. So, reported in Chicago News that a Chicago train, the subway, was slashed. I mean, some guy just walked up and just, you know, took out a knife and slashed her face. She didn't know him. He didn't know her. It was just random, senseless crime. And that's what happens. You know, I mean, you have to watch yourself. You have to watch your surroundings. You know, I mean, if you're going to the store or walking to the park or jogging around the corner, beware of your surroundings. You know, because when I go out, I'm looking left, right, up, down, you know, because I know anything could happen to anybody at any time. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, the bad guys are out there and they're going to do what they're going to do. So, you know, so heads up. All right, I'm throwing some more stuff out there. Okay, so without a budget, in the state of Illinois, without a budget in the state of Illinois, the state cannot pay its lottery winners. You probably heard about that. They cannot pay the lottery winners. However, they are still selling lottery tickets in the state, but if you should win, you can't get your lottery payouts. You can't get them. So I, like a lot of other people, I've stopped playing it. I mean, I'm not going to go buy tickets, and if I have a winning ticket, I can't get paid. Give me a break, because these guys doesn't seem like they're ever going to get this budget. There's ever going to be a budget in this town. They're not talking. They don't give a damn. They don't like each other. So a lot of people have they were pissed off. They're mad. They're angry. They want their money. But a lot of people who are buying tickets now, they're going to neighboring states and to pick up tickets, because Indiana and some of these other neighboring states, they have a budget. We don't have a budget. And that's bad for people having to go out of their own state to buy lottery tickets, because the governor will not sign a budget. Every budget that they send him, he's saying that the budget is out of balance. But, you know, they don't give a damn about people, okay? They don't care about people. This show does. So, and businesses are moving. People are moving out of the state. People are packing up and they're leaving. They're gone, you know. But the only thing you're going to hear from a politician, well, businesses are locating in this town. Businesses are not locating in Chicago. If they are, they're crazy. I mean, we do not have a budget. We do not have a budget. People are buying their lottery tickets in other states, taking money out of Illinois and spending it somewhere else. Now, that's a failure in economic power in Illinois. That's a failure. That's a failure on the part of the politicians. Like I've said many times, we're not to blame for what's going on in this state. The politicians are to blame for what's going on in this state. They are to blame financially. They can't manage. They mismanage. They lie. They cheat. They're corrupt. And guess what? The vulnerable has to pay for it. Instead of them going after the rich, the 1%, taxing these people, they go after the people who are the most vulnerable, the sick, the elderly, the seniors, people who are struggling, the middle class, the poor, and they get a kick out of it. They don't have a problem going after people like that for money instead of going after the people who have the money, They go after the people who do not have the money, and that doesn't make sense. Rahm Emanuel, Bruce Rauner, John Culloden, Michael Madigan, all of these guys refuse to talk. They all want money. They all want money. They all want budget cuts, more budget cuts, but nobody is talking. Nobody is doing anything. This is nutty. This is crazy. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to be railing about this in every radio show, every radio talk show that I give. This is nutty. You know, Rauner is he's going around today showing everybody his 2014 tax returns as if we cared. Don't nobody give a damn. We know you're a millionaire, a billionaire, you know, taking money from those who don't have it to give it to those who have it. You know, we don't need to know that. I don't need to know his damn tax returns. I'm pretty sure a lot of us don't, especially if you're working every day for a living. You don't care nothing about his tax return. I know I don't. You know, but he he wants to be, you know, transparent, I guess, you know, but who cares if he's transparent? Because he has come in and wrecked the hell out of this state. And then he walks around smiling and grinning. One lady called him a devil in disguise. If you ever wanted to see the devil, look at Rauner. She said, a lot of people in this state just do not like this guy. Illinois has never, I've said this before, Illinois has never been in this kind of shape. Yeah, we have been, the budgets have been unbalanced, but we have never been, how can you make a state better by making it a lot worse than it has ever been before? How can you make a state better if you're going to make it a lot worse? I don't understand that. This state is going over the damn cliff. It's going over the cliff. And I don't see nobody in sight to try to pull it back, you know, from going over the cliff. They seem like they're just happy and satisfied to see it go over the cliff because nobody is talking. Nobody's compromising. Everybody's going their own way. And these people get paid to generate a budget. They get paid to pass a budget. In other words, passing a budget means that they are going to pay the state's bills. You're not paying your bills, Mr. Bruce Rauner. legislature, you are not paying your bills. The state is going overboard and nobody cares. Maybe I should stop talking about this situation on the show because nobody else is talking about it. Nobody else, the only people that are talking about this are the people who are affected by it. The big guys, the politicians, they are not talking about it. If they do talk about it, it's a sidebar. You know, it's a sidebar. And they are getting paid. Everybody else is not getting paid because there's no budget. But the assholes who will not negotiate, talk, compromise to put this state back on footing, they're getting paid. And that's not right. We know that Browner wants to bust unions. He wants to try to get Mary Emanuel, John Cullerton, and Michael Madigan to join him in busting unions. And they're refusing because they're Democrats. You know, to them, this is their core belief. You know, and they are not going to let Rauner or force them or con them into breaking their Democratic beliefs. So Rauner says, hey, I'm going to cut this. I'm going to cut that. The seniors are going to go hungry. You know, they're going to starve. The kids are going to starve. The disabled and the autism and all these people are going to starve. Mentally ill, you know, the places are closed. A lot of these places have closed. You know, there's no funding. Like I said before, the only reason why this state is still standing, the state of Illinois, the only reason why this state is still standing is because of court orders, the judge. Because if it wasn't for that, 60,000 Illinois workers would have not been paid. They would have not been paid. And don't let me talk about the teacher strike that's going to come. Because Emanuel have said many times 5,000 to 7,000 teachers are going to be laid off. And they do not have a contract. They've been working without a contract. Mary Emanuel wants them to pay more towards their own pension. They don't like that. And some of the leaders from the union for the teachers saying, yeah, there's going to be a strike. It's going to likely be a strike. Because there's been many other strikes in this town, in Illinois. You know, so, and it's not going to be good. It is not going to be good. Stay tuned, everybody. It's not going to be good at all. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. is taking a small break right here. Be right back. Thanks, everybody. All right. Okay. All right. Welcome back to the show. This is George Waldo Jr. Broadcasting live out of Chicago. It is 6:31 Chicago time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for being part of the show. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for archiving the show. And I'm so glad to be back. It's a great night. It's cold. Like I said before, the start of the show, it is cold. I think they say it's going to go down to 20 degrees tonight in Chicago, okay? Tonight in Chicago. So if you're going out tonight, and this is Friday, and happy Friday. Once again, I'm saying happy Friday. And if you're going out, then, you know, you can't listen to the show. You can always archive the show. Archive the show, you know, because I know this is family time, basically. And Friday, you've worked all week, right? You want to get out here and have a good time. But if you do, bundle up. It's going to be nippy. But you know what they say? The weather people, they say it's going to bounce back in a few days. I mean, a couple of days is going to be back up in the 70s. Well, we'll just have to wait to see that because, you know, if you're living in Chicago, you turn the corner, the weather changes every time you turn that corner. So we'll just have to wait and find that out. All right, here we go. All right. Okay. You're on the George, if I can see it, you're on the George Waldo Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hello, George. This is Peggy Silfon.
As if I didn't know. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you sorry to hear that it's so cold there. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Like I said before, just it changes a lot. So, you know, in a couple of days, it's going to be 70 degrees.
Well, yeah, I live in Southwest Florida, and they say here that if you don't like the weather, wait a minute. That's how quickly it changes here. 1 minute it can be pouring rain, and the next, beautiful and sunny.
Yeah, they say the same thing here. Every time you turn a corner, the weather changes. So, you know. Okay, I'm going to read a little something that I picked up. Okay. Peggy Silfon is devoted to helping people overcome life's big and small frustrations and challenges through stress, anxiety, trauma, and pain to supercharge their lives. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here with you.
It's a pleasure to be with you, too. Okay, tell the audience something about yourself and what you do exactly.
Well, I'm a personal development coach, and uh-huh. I'm also a motivational speaker, and I really help guide people through lots of different challenges, through trauma, pain, anxiety, stress, so that they can really supercharge their lives. I'm also an author, so I have a book that contains over 100 strategies to help do that. And, you know, it's such a shame in our lifestyle that we've accelerated our timelines and our speed and our lifestyles to the point where we are always under pressure and stress. And there's so much going on simultaneously that so many people are overwhelmed and they become paralyzed. And guess what? Then they become sick. So it's really important that people stop for a moment, pay attention, and recognize that there are some great solutions. And there are ways mm-hmm. that they can really be more empowered in their lives. So that's what I help people do.
Okay. How did you go from journalism and owning a business to become an anxiety and stress management guru?
Yes, well, you know, out of adversity, one learns, and constantly suffered stress, constantly suffered anxiety, and I just thought it was normal, and, you know, hey, everybody's stressed, it's just what is.
Yeah.
And what I learned through some of my trainings, and then I certified in a lot of very diverse modalities, what I learned is that we don't have to suffer. What I learned is that we can really release all struggle, and so I shifted out of these, you know, very traditional businesses, which I loved. I loved doing it, but I was really more interested in human development and helping others like myself who were challenged by life and going through periods of paralysis where they just weren't functioning at their best. And I also even help athletes perform better. So, you know, it really runs the gamut. And, yeah, there's like over 40 million people in this country that suffer some form of anxiety. So this is huge. This is a big deal. And there's things we can do about it.
Okay, that sounds great. So tell us about your book. I believe it's called From Anxiety.
Escape from Anxiety.
Yeah.
And the subtitle is Supercharge Your Life with Powerful Strategies from A to Z. So it's really like an alphabet of solutions, and the A to Z's contain over 100 different solutions of things that you can really do. And what I call it are, you know, these different techniques I call interrupters. Because what happens is we get caught in these patterns of stress and anxiety. Like I have a client who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And so she's in this pattern where as soon as she's triggered for that alarm of, uh-oh, I'm in danger, which may be an illusionary danger, but it triggers this pattern of response that's very harmful to her body. She's tense, she's upset. She gets indigestion, she gets headaches, she gets neck problems, back problems. And so this is not atypical. This is what many people experience. So I can, if you'd like, I can kind of explain why that happens.
Yeah, go right ahead. I mean, the show is yours.
Okay. Well, I don't want to just run my mouth, George, you know. Jump in at any point you see fit.
No problem.
You know, the thing is we have this stress response to life's triggers. And the stress response is actually biologically built into our system. So it's the fight or flight. And we get triggered, hormones get released, adrenaline, and so the heart starts beating quicker and the circulation quicker. And what it does is it sends all the energies into our limbs so that we can run away from the predator or fight them, right? So we get strong.
Yeah.
But what's happening in that process and what happens for people is that they end up in that fight or flight response chronically, where they're just always stressed, they're always pressured. We've got a million things to do. I got to get the kids here. I've got to do this job. I've got to do that. And, you know, we're just, you know, fragmented. And so when that happens chronically, it's taking all the energy away from our digestion, from our immune system. And so we get sick. And the body starts breaking down. So it's really important to have what I call these interrupters to just stop that cycle. Take a moment. And it can even as short as a minute.
Do you think exercise can be one of those interrupters when you
Absolutely. And there's all different kinds of exercise that can be beneficial. I mean, literally, for people who have this sort of chronic stress level where they're just so uncomfortable, they're not thinking clearly, just taking a minute to get up and stretch or do jumping jacks really changes the energetic flow in their bodies.
You know, I had this job once. I was working in an office environment. And this particular job was one of the most stressful jobs I've ever had in my whole life. I would get stressed just walking into the place, you know, before the work days, I would get stressful. But by the end of the day, I mean, I didn't know if I was coming or going. I was so stressed out.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know how I relieved it? I relieved some of the stress by going to the gym.
That's great.
By getting on the life cycle. And you know what? I could feel when I was on the life cycle, as I was, you know, pedaling, I could feel the stress just fall off me.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was just falling off me onto the floor. You know? And I know that has to be one of the disruptors of what are you talking about. And
Absolutely. It changes the energetic flow. It opens up the body to function better. It also distracts your mind so that your mind isn't focused on the problems and you're able to just kind of release. So it is an excellent way to just really rechannel that energy more positively.
Yeah. So here's another question from off your, how can someone understand whether or not their anxiety is normal, everyday anxiety, or something more serious?
Ah, yes. Well, you know, it's interesting because, let's face it, we're human, right? So anxiety is really part of our humanness, our vulnerability. We have everyday anxiety, you know, paying bills creates anxiety, driving in traffic, right?
Yeah.
Social situations. And, you know, being on, you know, the George Wilder Jr. show, you know, creates anxiety, right?
Huh? Yeah, it's stressful.
So
anxiety.
I mean, there is a certain normalcy of having passages of anxiety. When it becomes serious is when you start developing really irrational fears, where really you have almost unsubstantiated or exaggerated worries, where this dread kind of prevents you from handling routine activities, and you're sort of paralyzed in the face of these daily tasks. You get into this place of hopelessness, recurring nightmares, overeating, undereating for weeks on end. Sleeplessness, all of those things are kind of signs of a more serious form. And you know, just to sort of digress for a second, when people enter that serious form, you know, it gets sort of diagnosed as a mental disorder or mental illness.
Yeah.
And I just want to kind of point out, because I know you do a lot of political things and, you know, things like gun control and those kinds of issues. You know, I think we need to really look at...
I try to diverse.
Yeah, but I think we need to really consider, you know, who are the people using those guns. And when we look at, you know, these mental disorders... too many people look at them as stigmas and taboos, and it's really like a mental cancer or like diabetes of the brain. I mean, it's treatable, but we got to see it. We got to not sweep it under the carpet as we've done. So it's time to come out of the closet and to accept and to address it, and there's so many solutions.
Okay. Can you tell me something about the challenges in getting your first book published? Is this your first book?
Actually, it isn't. I've done books before, but on completely different subjects. And in the past, I've gone with a traditional publisher. And it took about 2 years to go through the process. And I sort of felt in that process, because you work with editors, you work with people you never meet. And it kind of becomes their book, because I know you've done books too.
It becomes their book, and a lot of people are saying that, you know, they're co-owners like of your book.
Well, and they are, because as you well know, in book publishing, you make virtually no money. I mean, you know, if people go into publishing their own book as a way to make their great fortune, guess what? They're living a delusional life because it's
a great fortune. When I had my first book published, I thought that I was going to – I mean, I thought I hit the jackpot. I thought I was going to get a great big advance. And then I discovered they was asking me for money, you know.
Right. Yeah, there you go. And actually, on my first book, I got an advance, which I was so excited about. But then I was expecting all sorts of royalties. I never got a penny in royalties, you know. So the advance was it. But, I mean, it was good at that time. But I just find the publishing industry has really changed. And so I chose, because I've been a writer, I was a journalist in New York City, I chose to go my own route. And so I self-published.
That's the best way.
It's challenging in itself, but you have control over your product, and your content is really what you want it to be, for better or for worse. You know, some people aren't as good as putting those elements together, but I was very grateful to have a good team of people. I had a great editor that I hired, and I hired a great graphic designer and a good cover illustrator. So I think that's what it takes to really be more effective in publishing. And for me, it's been really a gateway to connecting with people like yourself and people all over the world who I can share this message with, because it gave me a venue to open the door.
So
from that point, I think book publishing is you know, a great avenue.
Yeah, but like you say, it's no money unless you're doing it yourself.
Right.
And I always encourage people to do something for themselves. Stop giving their time and their effort and their talent to someone else. If you want to be published, publish yourself. You'll be in control. Like you say, you'll be in control of your own work. No one else will.
Right.
And that's a good. And that's a good feeling.
It is.
That's
it
a
totally
great
is.
Feeling. Okay, how does stress affect your health, and what can someone do to overcome the fear that is holding them back from being healthy and living truly living?
Well, you know, I think, again, going back to what we talked about a little earlier, just about the idea that stress, you know, creates a lot of malfunctions in the body biologically as well as the mind. When you're stressed, you can't think clearly. So it really holds you back from seeing the reality and being able to really make good decisions and really be your authentic self, really be able to connect to all that you are, because that stress is so overwhelming that it's very difficult to be clear thinking. And so I think it's really important to accept that, okay, I'm stressed or this situation stresses me, but then be able to sort of activate real solutions that help you resolve stress, whether you choose to go to the gym or whether you choose just, I call them productivity breaks, productivity pauses, where you just stop for 5 minutes and stretch, close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and that just helps interrupt that pattern of stress so that now you can come back to the task that is stressing you out and you can do it more effectively.
All right. What is your what do people say about you and what you do in a positive way? How positive are people towards your message?
Well, you know, I have to say, I mean, I've worked with so many different people from different walks of life, and I tend to be very intuitive in understanding what someone's specific personal need might be and being able to address it. That what I've found is my clients are so liberated to be fully who they are that they feel that whole experience of, you know, interacting with me is so positive. But it's truly what I've done is just facilitated them to be themselves in an expansive way, which they were afraid to do or they were held back or, you know, there's a whole list of things that stop people from living their lives. And so what I really do is open the door for them to be able to live more fully. And I have a program called an integrated life personal coaching strategy, which really helps address specific kinds of issues. Because everybody's got something, but it's always working.
Right.
I mean, that's part of our humanness, you know. So, like, if our relationships are working, then, you know, we have a health issue or a work issue, you know. And if work is going beautifully, all of a sudden we have this relationship issue, you know. So we're always working to improve ourselves, and it's learning how to bring all of those elements into this beautiful, harmonious balance so you can really be you.
Oh, sounds great. Sounds beautiful. Sounds wonderful. Okay, what is mindfulness and how are businesses using it to change employees' performance and lower healthcare costs?
That's a
I'm
really
Well, I've got it off your as you know, I've got it off your page.
Okay. Yeah, I know it sounds familiar. Well, you know, I'm really kind of excited that businesses are really beginning to embrace mindfulness, and mindfulness is really tuning employees and, you know, executives, leaders into awareness about what's working, what's not working, and being in a place where they're consistently, again, tapped into their unique talents and being able to express them in ways that are productive for the whole company. And so the way to mindfulness is first being aware if you're stressed, if you're anxious, if you're not performing well, all those kinds of things, and then be able to step back and exercise one of these interrupters, as I call them, and be able to change that pattern. And so what a lot of businesses are doing now is they're actually bringing activities into the workplace. So they're offering yoga classes. They're offering meditation classes. They're having timeout rooms where people can just go and take a nap for 20 minutes. And so that is beginning to change the business culture, really creating a paradigm shift because, you know, a happy employee is a productive employee. And if you've got an employee who's stressed, who didn't get enough sleep, who's not functioning well, they are not going to be a productive employee for you. And they're going to be a liability. They're going to cost you and higher, you know, healthcare costs and presenteeism, absenteeism, all of that stuff.
Okay, you've written 2 or 3 books. What would you say to aspiring writers who want to write a book? How to keep them motivated in living their dreams or trying to create something that's going to better their lives as, in terms of being an author?
That's a great question. And you know what? I say, just do it. Just mm-hmm. do it means don't just dream of doing it. Gee, you know, if I had more time, I'd like to write a book. If that's something mm-hmm. you really want to do, if it's in your heart and you really feel mm-hmm. a message coming out of you, you have to mm-hmm. prioritize it. And so you mm-hmm. have to take time every single day to devote to it. And it may be that you get up an extra 30 minutes earlier, and that 30 minutes you write. And what I tell people, because I work with a lot of writers now, and I tell them, you know, write mm-hmm. to the trash. Just write it down. It doesn't matter. Put it on paper. Because what happens is that creates that process of writing, and it helps you yeah. just let go and open up without being precious about it. Too many people mm-hmm. write a word, or they just look at the blank screen, and they, you know, they're just paralyzed by it. Instead yeah. of just put it out there. It's kind of like,
get
you know, just sort
there.
Of, yeah, just let it go. And then go back, you know, create your outline and then just write. Just put it all down on paper or computer, however you do it. I like to write
yeah,
on computer
but
I'm a very fast typist, so I like to get it all down while I'm thinking about it.
I don't know what I would do without my word processor. I really don't. I'd be lost, you know, so... that's true because a lot of people start to write and then they give up writing. And there are so many people who want to write, but they never start writing. They
right.
love writing. And I always say, keep at it. Do not give up. But first of all,
well, you know what, George, though? There's something else. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to throw this out there because I think a lot of people start. And then I start looking at it and thinking, you know, I don't really have enough to say. I'm not sure my message
yeah.
is worth it. I'm not
yeah.
sure I'm
yeah.
good enough. And so all these sort of self, you know, defeating thoughts mm-hmm. that interfere. And so my philosophy and my recommendation to anyone is really just do it and see the process through. Just go for it.
And also have something to write about, you know.
You know
you
what,
know,
though,
so,
George? Everybody has something to write about, truly.
Mm,
everybody has a story. Yeah. Everybody has a message.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's tapping into that message.
Yeah, yeah. So tell everybody what your book is, the title of your book, Escape from Anxiety, and where can it be found?
Well, it's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble,
mm-hmm.
and they
mm-hmm.
can also go to escapefromanxiety.com, and
mm-hmm.
They can order it directly from Stonewater Studio Books, and they'll get an autographed copy. And I'm really excited because I was just featured actually in New York Magazine. My book was featured mm-hmm. in Look Good and Feel Great, and it sold out at one of the Barnes & Noble bookstores in
Congratulations.
My area. So I was very excited about that. So
congratulations.
I have to share my enthusiasm.
Hey, share it. Do you have a copy of the book with you now?
I do.
Okay, can you read an excerpt?
Oh, sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
Well, since we just talked about this, actually, I'll read. This is, you know, the A to Z, so C
mm-hmm.
is create.
Okay.
And so it starts with an affirmation. I'm creating a happy, healthy, and fulfilling life. And it says, negative self-talk is a natural human phenomenon that unfortunately feeds the demons and the dramas. Self-chatter can result in paralyzing feelings of not being good enough, not deserving enough, or not being loved. This perceived deficiency colors your reactions to the world, situations, and people. Get rid of negative chatter simply by replacing all self-limiting thoughts with creative new thoughts. Feel valued, unique, appreciated, and loved. All that's needed is deeply embedded in the soul. It's all accessible within through awareness and creativity.
Okay.
And I go on to talk about some specific things.
Right, okay.
It's awareness of debilitating toxic thoughts is the first step.
Wow, this is a great book, Escape to Anxiety. I encourage everybody to go get it, go buy it, download it. It's an ebook form, right?
Well,
ebook.
Actually, it'll be coming out in an ebook probably
okay.
in the next couple of weeks. Right now, it's only available in paperback. But I also want to share with your listeners
okay.
one of the interrupter tools that I really
mm-hmm.
like to recommend people use, and it's a relaxation tool. That is,
mm-hmm.
I call it 3 minutes to de-stress, and they can get it just by going to 3minutestodestress.com,
mm-hmm.
and it's the numeral 3. 3minutestodestress.com, and they can just download it onto their smartphones or their computers. And if you listen to that every single day, like first thing in the morning, it'll just start your day in a calm, relaxed, more sort of productive state of mind.
All right. Okay. You've said a mouthful here, and thank you for being on the show. Do you have anything else that you would like to say to your readers and your fans before I let you go?
You know, George, I'm so gratified just to be on your show and share this with your listeners. And I just thank you for the opportunity. And
no problem.
I'm really thrilled to just be able to reach more people and help them release their struggles and really live their lives more fully.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Peggy Cifon. She's been on the George Wilder Show. Thank you very much, Peggy. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, George.
All right. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. We're going to take a break right here. Let's see what we can do. All right.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel on Tuesday laid out a stark choice for the cash-strapped city as he proposed a 2016 budget aimed at resolving a financial crisis linked to unfunded pensions either slash vital public safety and other services, or enact the biggest ever property tax increase. In a half-hour speech to Chicago's 50 aldermen, Emanuel said spending cuts would mean reducing 20% of the police force, closing 48 fire stations and laying off 40% of the city's firefighters. In short, if we were to fund our pensions with cuts alone, our city services would become unreliable. Our city would become unlivable. And that would be totally unacceptable, he said, promising his plan would wipe out Chicago's structural budget deficit within the next 4 years. Emanuel, who was elected to a second term in February, proposed a $543 million increase in property taxes, between now and 2018, to cover police and fire pensions. Facing a budget shortfall that could hit $745 million, Emanuel is also proposing a per-ride surcharge on taxi and ride-sharing services to raise $48.6 million and a new monthly garbage fee of $9.50 per household to gain $62.7 million. Garbage pickup is currently free for residences. While Emanuel's proposals usually pass the city council easily, the property tax hike may meet resistance. Every time there was a property tax increase of any size, there has been an aldermanic revolt, said Dick Simpson, political science professor at University of Illinois at Chicago and a former alderman in the 1970s. Ed Burke, chairman of the city council's finance committee, said aldermen will have opportunities in the coming weeks to see if there are other solutions. Public service requires people to display courage and take tough votes, and this is a tough vote, Burke told reporters after the mayor's speech. Alderman Scott Wagsback, a member of the council's small, but vocal progressive caucus, said the property tax increase will be hard for taxpayers to swallow. We've offered, the mayor, specifically at least 24 revenue streams and other options, waste, and inefficiencies that can be fixed, and we just haven't seen it in this proposal, he told reporters. If the third largest U.S. city cannot get its finances under control, Chicago faces further downgrades by credit rating agencies, thus making it more expensive to raise funds through bond sales. Moody's Investors Service, which has already cut the city's credit rating to junk, said on Tuesday it would withhold comment until a budget is passed. The mayor's overall budget for the fiscal year beginning January 1 totals $9.32 billion, which includes $3.63 billion of spending on operations. Emanuel said the lion's share of the higher property tax burden would be on owners of more costly homes and commercial buildings. But that depends on whether Illinois lawmakers approve an expanded property tax exemption for owners of homes valued at $250,000 or less. A House hearing on the idea is scheduled for Thursday. Alderman Brendan Riley, who represents the Downtown Central Business District, said piling more taxes onto businesses risks pushing the city's economy to a tipping point. In addition to the expanded exemption, Emanuel is counting on the state to enact a law to lower the city's contributions to its police and fire pension funds, which are due to spike starting this year. However, the city's requests have become entangled in the Illinois budget standoff between the Republican governor and Democrats who control the legislature. Governor Bruce Rauner wants to temporarily freeze local property taxes, while giving local governments ways to save money, including curbing collective bargaining with their workers, a move strongly opposed by Democrats. Meanwhile, the city council could as soon as Thursday approve bond sales for Chicago, including a restructuring and refunding of $500 million of general obligation bonds and $2 billion of new and refunding revenue bonds for O'Hare Airport. In the wake of credit downgrades, the city has had to pay a stiff penalty to sell its bonds. Nothing about this particular budget proposal is going to change our view on the city, said Andrew Clinton, president of Clinton Investment Management.
All right. That was a clip. Okay, let me say something about Patty Silfon. Okay, she is an intuitive ability to connect with people of all walks of life, backed up with in-depth certifications in life-changing moderator from ancient yoga techniques, boy, if I can say it, mindfulness and spirituality, of training in modern psychology, nutrition, energy medicine, and neurosciences. She brings her diverse expertise together to offer audience insights in developing highly effective integrated programs that work extremely effective to cultivate happiness and well-being through the test of today's on the show. She brought some insight. I hope you guys out there can benefit from this. And these are the kind of guests I like to have on the show. Guests that can offer my audience something, then give my audience something to make my audience better people, more healthier, conscious, minded, you know, because stress is awful. Stress is bad. Like I told her before, I was working in his office and I was stressed just by walking through the door. I mean, I got stressed just by, before I even sat down at my desk, I was stressed, you know, and it led on all through the day. But exercise is one of the greatest things. I'm not a doctor like she is. I'm not fluent in a lot of that thing that she was talking about, but I do know what had worked for me. What had worked for me, and what worked for me was exercise, okay? And that is totally important. I mean, exercise can rid your body of diabetes. Diabetes is curable. It is curable. I've done shows in the past on diabetes. It is curable. So don't ever think that it's not curable. However, curable doesn't actually mean that it's going to go totally away. I mean, if you're going to do the same things you've done to get diabetes, if you go back to doing the same thing, the diabetes will return. And that's for real. But stress is exercise. Even if you take a walk around the corner, go out and get you some air. For my seniors, do not sit in the house. Do not sit and being depressed, being, you know, depressed and stressed and thinking that you are not worthy. Get out there in the world. I know some of the senior programs have been halted, but there's nothing wrong with taking a walk around the corner when the weather is permitting. You know, because stress will kill you. There is no doubt about it. I felt like when I was on that life cycle, when I was so stressed, I mean, it seemed like the stress just fell off my body. It just fell off down onto the floor, you know. And I was going, oh. And I went back to work the next day and I was stressed again. Why did I get so stressed? I'll tell you about that in another show. People. It's always people. And all right, we're going to – I played a clip on the tax hike that's coming. Mayor Rahm Emanuel said he has 26 votes that he needs to raise property taxes, garbage collecting taxes. I mean, collectively, this is going to be $588 million on the backs of already stressed out Chicagoans, Illinoisans. You know, I mean, if we're not getting taxed by the city, we're getting taxed by the Cook County. We're getting taxed by the state. We're getting taxed, sale taxes. We're taxed the hell out. But now he has saved, the mayor, Emanuel, he's part of the one centers. So, you know, he says he has a vote to screw us some more. That's all it's going to take. Screw us some more. I mean, with a tax like this, everything is going to go up. Your rent's going to go up. Your mortgage is going to go up. If they got a fixed mortgage, think again. Not with this property tax hike. Your yearly tax bill is going to be higher than hell. Condominium, get ready to pay more. Everybody's going to feel this. Everybody's going to feel this. And it's a shame that some of these people are saying lower gas prices is causing everything to go up. Give me a break. They're using it as an excuse to screw us. That's all they're doing. Okay? That's all they are doing. Remember, we are in the state of Illinois. We are in our fourth month of an Illinois shutdown, and a lot of us are just plain old pissed off. And we have a right to be. We should be. We ought to be. But we cannot just sit back and be pissed off. We got to get our asses down there to the state of Illinois building, wherever Rauner drags his ass, and we got to tell this guy, get a state budget. I mean, we have had politicians, Republican politicians like Rauner, tell Rauner to stop jacking his butt, I'm sorry, and get a budget. I'm passionate. And get a budget. As long as he hasn't got a budget, he's got nothing to say. He has nothing to say that I want to hear. But if you turn this around, the legislature in Illinois, it's controlled by Democrats, okay? It's controlled by the Democrats on both houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives in Illinois. They can override this guy and get a budget, but they're scared as hell. They're scared if they pass a tax increase that Rauner is going to buy their seats. He probably will. He's going to buy their seats. That means he's going to replace them with his own people after the other guy loses, because he's going to work against them. I mean, Rauner has a pot full of money. So when it comes to voting next time, if these guys do this, Rauner can get them out of office. He can have them voted out, moved out, because he feels that his money is going to work for him. But he has to understand, it's not all about money. I don't think Rauner can do this. I don't think he is going to make this state a Republican state like he promised. He is doing all the things that he can to make this a Republican state. I would just love to be a fly on the wall when Rauner is talking to his flunkies, his minions, about trying to take over. Then the only reason why he wants to bust unions, I've said this before, and I will keep saying it, is because they have power. If anybody tells you anything differently, they're wrong. He wants to bust unions. He wants Rahm Emanuel to help him bust unions. He wants Michael Madigan. He wants John Cullerton to help him bust unions, or he's going to keep the state, or he's going to keep the state without a budget. And in my vision, if you're not doing your job, you should not be in office. If you are not doing your job, why in the hell are you a politician? He's not doing his job. And some people are saying he's actually abusing his position because he's signing in executive orders and not compromising with the legislature and voting on these things. I wish Obama would use his executive authority, but he doesn't. I mean, if I can swing to Obama for a second, Obama was talking about using his executive authority on gun control. Yeah, he was going to use it to pass some legislation on gun control. I haven't heard anything about that so far. And I said in yesterday's show, hey, this is just another reason for us to believe that Obama is totally all talk. This is the second time he said he's going to use executive authority. I'm pretty sure he's used it before, but he doesn't use it to curb crime in the city. He can use it. I believe some Republicans whispered in his ear, don't you do that. And we haven't heard anything about that so far. And this town needs gun control. Something. Because this is the weekend in Chicago, in Illinois, and we know how violence escalates during the weekends in this city and across the United States. We know about it. And for our politicians to ignore this is just crazy. And for people to say, put more guns out on the street, they're nuts. They're nuts. More guns is not going to solve the problem. More guns out on the streets will only escalate problem. And it's just crazy. I don't know. I'm running out of things to say about the state shutdown in Illinois. There's no budget. I'm running out of things to say, you know, because I keep saying the same thing each and every day that I'm on the show about this guy. And nothing is done. Nothing is. And it does. Maybe they're not hearing me. It doesn't matter. It's just that the right thing to do. But they're hearing a lot of other people out here who I am on the same page with. I'm on the same page with them. Rauner and our politicians are not doing what we want them to do. We want them to care about people. We want them to care about this state. We want a budget in place. And they just don't give a damn. Michael Madigan's people, they're following Michael Madigan. Bruce Rauner's people, they're following their master, Bruce Rauner. These people are the people who can come together, stop the BS, and take this state off the cliff. Get a budget, fellas. Get a budget or get out. Get out. If you can't do your job, if you won't do your job, get the hell out and let somebody in that's going to do it. We do need a recall on the book. We need to get him out. You know, Rauner needs to go. You know, he needs to go. He's the one who has been vetoing budget after budget after budget from the legislature. And every time he vetoes a budget, he blames them for not having a budget. after he vetoes it, says it's out of balance. Hell, Illinois budgets have been out of balance since day one in this state. That's no news. That's no news. The problem here is the state is going under. In a few weeks, this state is going to fall over a cliff because the court orders to make payments to certain social programs are it's going to be nil. It's not going to be happening because how can a court order a state to pay its bills when that state doesn't have any money to pay those bills? And these guys still are not talking. And these guys that I'm talking about, they're millionaires. They are millionaires. Michael Madigan is a millionaire. I'm pretty sure John Cullerton is a millionaire. We know Bruce Browner is a billionaire. They are not affected. But they're causing so much havoc among the middle class, working people, the poor, the struggling. They just don't give a damn. You know, and I'm surprised that Obama isn't weighing in on this mess, since supposedly Chicago is his hometown. Why isn't he weighing in on this? Why is he letting Rauner destroy this state and this city? Why? He's the president of the United States. If he doesn't want to use the executive authority, at least he can open his mouth and say it's wrong, it's not right. You know, he should say something. But I've been hearing the Obamas are not going to come back to Chicago once they're out of the White House. They're not going to come. I heard something like they're going to be living in New York, going to make New York their home or something to that effect. Or if not New York, Obama's going to be, you know, going back to Hawaii, from what I'm hearing, you know, so they may not come back to Chicago. Is that because of the high crime? Is that because of the high taxes? Is that because of Bruce Browner? All good reasons not to come back to Chicago. All good reasons, okay? But I'm going to think positive. I'm going to think positive. I'm going to say these guys are going to get a budget, hopefully, and take Illinois off the cliff, because that's where we at. We hanging at the edge of the cliff, ready to go over. And I can't understand why there's so many people out there just boohooing this when it's going to affect them. I don't care if you are poor, struggling poor, middle class, you know, working people, rich people. It's going to affect everybody in some way because we're all living in the state. We're all Illinoisans. It's going to affect us. We should be downtown in droves, in thousands, just like the teacher strike. We should be downtown in droves protesting these cuts. Not just a handful of people over here, not just a handful of people. I'm talking about thousands on top of thousands downtown protesting this. Governor. I have clips of people protesting this guy, but, you know, as long as you don't have enough people doing this, it's not going to work. It may not even get, you know, media time, because this is something. This is our state. We should defend it. This is our state. We have to stand up for. We cannot give it to Rauner. We cannot give it to the legislature because they are doing nothing. Neither side is doing nothing. But I'm putting more of the blame on Rauner. But to this point, I'm blaming them all. What is it with you people? You can't lead. You can't get a budget. You can't compromise. You don't like each other. You can't talk to each other. Get out. Get out if you can't do that. Why are you still hanging on to your job when you're not doing it? Doesn't make any sense, does it? You're hanging on to a job when you're not doing it. And the people are suffering. Okay, I am not a bleeding heart liberal. Believe me, I am not. But right is right, wrong is wrong. And that's how I feel. right is right and wrong, and what's happening in Illinois is wrong. We're the only damn state within 50 states within the United States that have not got a damn budget, where people are suffering, people are losing their jobs. 7,000 teachers are being laid off or will be laid off. There will be a teacher strike. Kids will be affected. And nobody seems to be batting an eye. Nobody's moving. Nobody's talking. Nobody's compromising. No one. Even though they know that all the things that I just got through stating are going to happen, they're going to let these things happen. And that's why I say Illinois is going to go over the cliff. And these people who can stop it from going over the cliff are just going to stand by and watch. We, the people, we have to do something. We can't let this happen. This state belongs to us, not Bruce Rauner, not the legislature. It belongs to us. Michael Madigan has 40 years in the legislature. John Cullerton has 30, I believe. Collectively, they have 70 years. Bruce Rauner, he has not a year. He has not been in office a year. But yet he comes in and he tries to control everybody. Mean and nasty, vindictive. His staff, they're snarky. To me, it reminds me of that movie, The Goodfellas. We got the Goodfellas state offices down there in Springfield, the Goodfellas, you know. But it's not funny, and we have to take this seriously. It's not funny. We have to take this seriously. And I don't know. I keep saying I don't know, but I do know. I really do know. 347-857-1762, George Wilder Jr., of the George Wilder Jr. Show. My thanks to Peggy Silfon for being on the show. She was great. She was wonderful. I hope to have her back in the future. I always like great guests, and she was a beautiful guest. And let me see if I can hook up some of this audio here. Can we do clip number? Let me see. We're practically off the air. I think it's they're about 5 more minutes into the show. Okay. All right. Stay with me, everybody. Stay with me. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you for staying with me. Thank you for downloading, podcasting. Thank you for listening to the show. Someone whispered in my ear and said, 90 seconds. I said, okay, all righty, okay. We're just about off the air. I want to thank my guests once again. I want to thank all of those out there who are listening to the show. And I hope you join me tomorrow. It's going to be a whopper of a show. It always is. My ranting, my concerns, and all of that kind of stuff. And I just love doing the show. I love it. I love doing the show. And I love it that you're out there. And I know when you're archiving. I know when you're listening. I know when you're downloading. And I want to say thank you so much. Maybe I'm always saying that too much. Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, you guys join me tomorrow. All right? Bye-bye.